So I actually had a much easier time with this series than I did the series in the East, because I just look at these two teams and I think there's one that's clearly better.
You're now listening to the Boys in the Booth podcast with your hosts, Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams.
Woo! That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 210 of the Boys in the Booth podcast. Cody, Abrams, and Melbourne, and fellas, checking in on the Stanley Cup playoffs once again, because we are now down to four teams. That's it. It'll be the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. And in the Western Conference Finals, it'll be the Edmonton Oilers, who are there for the second time in three seasons, and the Dallas Stars. So four teams remain. But before we get into all that, coming off the May long weekend, how we doing, fellas?
Doing great. It was a perfect May long weekend. I got two rounds of golf in. We barbecued the one night with a bunch of friends, and we went for a patio the other night. So it was like prototypical
May. That sounds fantastic. I've just been reading, because as you guys know, the bar exam's coming up, and that's a whole 6 day a week thing. So I got my Saturday off, went and watched a game, a soccer game, that is, not a hockey game, for Tori, Paige's sister. And so that was cool. Got to see her family and whatnot. But other than that, doing well. Boys, as we speak, it's 27 degrees and sunny in Toronto right now, facing west out of my building, sun beating right in my eyes. It's just fantastic. I want to be outside. Summer is here, and so is hockey. And I guess it's, you know, about halfway over through the playoffs now, but it doesn't feel like hockey season, as we were kind of talking about. It feels like beach season right now. But a couple things I wanted to mention before we get into the episode here. Number one, I want to go back to last week, because as you guys know, last week I did the episode with John talking about the Maple Leafs and our ideal offseason for Bradtree Living and company. And I want to address the microphone gate situation that went on, because I don't know if you guys watched the episode or not, but I had it all set up really nicely, got an additional Blue Yeti mic to have great sound quality, because that was something that, you know, we got comments on last year when two people were recording in person. The sound quality wasn't always great because we were sharing one mic. I was proactive. I got a second mic just for this episode. As we recorded, something went wrong and the audio quality was shot. By the second half, it picked up and it was a bit better, but it was just brutal. I don't know if you guys listened. I tried to make it better than, you know, it originally sounded through some editing, but just brutal. So I wanted to apologize to everyone for that, because, you know, it's something we don't do often, but hopefully we can in the future record in person, because it's way better. And so I just wanted to put that out there. And second thing, boysinthebooth.com/shop. That's where you can go to get your Boys in the Booth golf shirts. Those drop today. Don't know how long we're going to be doing them for, but that's where you'll find them. There's a bunch of different colors, and there's an embroidered option, and there's a printed option at different price points. So go and check that out. Selling merch, golf shirts only for a limited time. I've got two on the way. I'm super excited. Anyways, all of that to say, I'm doing great, boys. Harp, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, Case, you said it, dude. Like, the weather for the May long weekend was fantastic. Had, you know, some fires, and you know, was able to do a little spa getaway as well, which was really nice. And yeah, so doing good. And if any of our listeners out there are like myself, and you know, you, Chad, and maybe even you too, Case, and are short on golf shirts for the golf season, we've got you covered. So again, boysinthebooth.com/shop. Fellas, it you know, should be a shorter episode for us, just talking about the two series that are left. Again, we are down to four teams. It's hard to believe that, you know, we're at this point in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as you both mentioned, almost at the end of May here. But here we are, down to four teams. And again, the Rangers and the Panthers in the Eastern Conference Final, and then the Oilers and the Stars in the Western Conference Final. So let's start with the series in the East, the final two teams there. Game one will be on Wednesday night. So when this episode drops, that same day will be game one between the Rangers and the Panthers. So let's go into this series. Who we got in this one? It should be a close one.
Okay, still muted.
I think it's definitely going to be a close one. I muted myself there because I'm clicking away to try to figure out one stat that I wanted to see, and that was hits. I think that this series is going to be determined in the first or second game based on if the Rangers are going to get into the shit with Florida. If they try to match Florida's intensity and match, well, not intensity, but physicality, I think that they're going to lose this series in a heartbeat. If they stick to their game and be a little more run and gun, then I think that they might be able to pull this off. They are the higher seed team. They're going to have home ice advantage. But I just think that Florida is just such a different weapon. You think that they're more of a defensive team. But really, when you look at when you watch them, they're just creating chances constantly through the physical play. The puck's in the corner. They crash and bang out to the slot, quick shot every single time. It's amazing to watch. And I wonder if the Rangers are going to be able to keep up with that. They haven't really faced a team like Florida yet. I think Carolina played a bit soft in that last series and, you know, didn't give them a run for their money. So I'm interested to see the first and second game, how things go, but I'm going to pick Florida in six.
Oh, in six games. Wow.
Damn.
Man, I had a really tough time with this series because I bet against both these teams in the past in my bracket. And it wasn't because I didn't think these teams were good. I just thought the teams that they were playing were better. So, you know, you can't fault me for picking a Carolina over the New York Rangers. We all did. Carolina looked like a great team, but then, you know, the Rangers just kind of bullied them. And Carolina isn't a tough team, I guess, but they're also not a weak team per se either. So, but then the Rangers just looked like the more physical and better team overall. So if they bring that to this series, and Case, good point, if they don't get dragged into the shit by the Panthers, because that's what the Panthers are going to want them to do. They're going to want them to get engaged in everything. If the Rangers just play strong and physical like they did last series, but also maintain their identity and score tons of good, hard, greasy hockey goals, then I like the Rangers in this series, and I picked them in seven. But like I said, right off the bat, this was a series that I had a lot of difficulty with, because how can you bet against the Panthers? Like, this team is so good top to bottom, and they're more physical than pretty much every other team in the league too. So I had a really hard time, but I am going Rangers in seven games. I just need them to score like they did last series. That's all.
Yeah, if I could just, I was so flustered there. If I could go back and clarify a couple things. The first thing is, if the point of not getting into the shit with Florida is that the Rangers power play is so strong and they have so many weapons that, like, Florida really actually hasn't taken that many penalties despite being gritty and frustrating to play against. So, you know, if the Rangers stay away from that, keep Matt Rempe in the press box, then the power play is going to go to work and they're going to find a way to crack Bob. The reason I picked Florida in six is because I can't fathom a world that this goes to game seven in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Rangers lose in New York. So if the game goes to, if the series goes to seven, I'm picking the Rangers, but I think that Florida's going to go in there and playoff hockey their way to a win in six.
Yeah, which is, when you say playoff hockey, that's murder on skates, basically. Man, is what they're planning to
not
do.
Not just murder, which that is the intent for them, but the intensity and the clutchness, not a word maybe, but
I'll give it to you.
Just like Carter Verhaeghe, Matthew Tkachuk, those guys, you put them in a pressure situation, they're scoring in the playoffs. Carter Verhaeghe is like near the top of the list in game-winning goals all time in the playoffs already, and he's not even that old. And I just think when you match up clutch players on these two teams, Florida's going to take it. There are some clutch guys in New York, in particular, like, you know, Kreider's pretty clutch in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Hate to admit it, but
how about a natural hat trick game six to win it against Carolina?
Yeah. So I just, you know, when I match up, I give the nod to Florida. How are you,
Harvey? Sorry. Let me just jump in on something you said too.
Yeah.
Like you called out Matt Rempe specifically, and I'm glad you did, because I feel the same way. I feel like that's a kid who doesn't need to be inserted into this right away. You know, maybe if you go down a couple games, you kind of break the glass in case of emergency and throw him into the lineup. And, you know, that's only if you're getting bullied in those games or whatever. But I saw Sean Avery talking about this on Instagram today or yesterday, calling for Matt Rempe to be inserted into the lineup, because that's exactly what the Panthers are going to do. They're going to want to, you know, just bully the Rangers in every chance that they get. But, you know, as soon as I heard it, like you, Case, I was totally against that idea. I think the Rangers, to win this series, just need to play the way that they play. You know, you mentioned that their special teams are good. They need to score on the power play. They need to be good at defending on the penalty kill. And if they just keep going in that way, I think they have a good chance.
Playing Matt Rempe right away, or I don't know, sending anyone, Trouba, whoever it's going to be, to try to start shit with Florida right away to set a tone, is just going to be pouring gasoline on fire.
Yeah. And you've already lost if that's what you're doing
after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. That can't be the main focus for sure. From the Rangers standpoint, it's going to be a fantastic series. I think a lot of things stand out. These are two elite hockey teams. You've got a Panthers team that is back to the Final Four for the second straight season. And just like the Edmonton Oilers, you know, second time in the last 3 years being in the conference finals. Well, that's the case with the New York Rangers as well. And both teams have elite goaltending. I'm glad you guys mentioned the clutch scoring, you know, Verhaeghe in particular on Florida, and then Kreider with the Rangers, obviously. And you know, as much as I want to pick Florida here, I do have to, you know, stay honorable and true to what I picked in my bracket previously. You know, I had the Carolina Hurricanes going to the Cup Finals, and so I will give the slight edge to the Rangers here, but it has to be in seven games. They will have to get it done going the distance and getting this done in seven if they have any possibility of beating Florida and moving on to the Stanley Cup Finals. But if they can just not get dragged into the shit with the Panthers, like you mentioned, Case, it's going to really benefit the Rangers. And, you know, I just wonder too, if some of the Rangers' top guys, you know, whether it's Zibanejad or Trocheck, who I think honestly has maybe been their best centerman throughout the postseason so far, you know, how will either of those guys match up against Barkov? Because when thinking about early, you know, Conn Smythe Trophy votes and potential winners, I mean, if the Florida Panthers end up winning the Stanley Cup with the way that Barkov has played so far, he would have to be at the top of the list. So it's going to be interesting for sure. But I will say the Rangers get it done in seven. It's going to be a hell of a series. And I had a tough time with this one as well.
I've got a question to wrap up for both of you guys. If you had to pick one goalie in a game seven, which one are you going with from this series? Bobrovsky or Shesterkin? One goalie, one game to win it all. Who are you picking?
That's tough, because, you know, if you ask me in a regular season game, who am I picking? It's 100% Shesterkin. But given some playoff history, I might go with Officer Bob here, because he just seems to have a different gear every time he comes into the playoffs. Whereas, you know, watching Shesterkin against the Devils last year, it kind of seemed like he didn't have that gear. And I don't know if he's been tested as much this year to be able to, you know, if you're going recency bias, you got to pick Bob here.
Yeah. And speaking of being tested, like certainly not in the first round.
No,
Shesterkin.
No, tested, that's more so. What I mean than anything.
Yeah, you're right. Both good, though, is why I ask. Harp, how about you?
I, as soon as you asked that question and before Case answered, I immediately thought of Bobrovsky just with the experience, you know, that veteran experience and everything. But Shesterkin is the real deal, too. And that's another exciting aspect of this conference final in the East is that you have two elite Russian goaltenders. We know one who will probably end up in the Hall of Fame and Bobrovsky, and then I think Shesterkin is well on his way too in his young career. So that's another extra part in all of this. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I would also go Bob for the record, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, look at us.
We interrupt this podcast to tell you about one of our favorite partners, SignUp Expert. If you're a sports bettor, whether brand new, casual, or hardcore, listen very carefully because this ad is for you. Guys, line shopping for the best odds matters, and that's why any profitable sports bettor needs to be using multiple sports books to maximize their profits. Thankfully, there's never been a better time to get signed up, and we're here to connect you with the best promotions industry-wide. When you use our link at signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth, you can get access to all the top sportsbooks in your region, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. Most importantly, all of these sportsbooks have valuable signup offers for new users, and when you register through our link, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one, allowing you to start line shopping right away with an enhanced bankroll. Guys, it's simple. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful and profitable sports betting. So if you want to take advantage of these incredible benefits and support our brand at the same time, please consider signing up for your next sportsbook through the link in the description down below, signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. If you're planning on signing up for a new sportsbook anyways, you might as well use the link and support the boys. So one more time, that's signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. This podcast is also sponsored by the absolute best ticket app out there, SeatGeek. SeatGeek takes the confusion out of buying tickets, making it quick and easy to get the best deals on tickets to your favorite sporting events. SeatGeek does this awesome thing where they score each ticket out of 10 based on its value, so you know if you're getting a good or a bad deal. If the tickets are green, for example, you better act quick and secure those things because that's a good deal, but if the tickets are red, maybe wait a bit before pulling the trigger and monitor the price in the app. SeatGeek just makes it way too easy. Anyway, here's the best part though. SeatGeek has completely hooked us up. Boys in the Booth listeners get $20 off their first purchase on SeatGeek with the promo code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. So click the link in the description down below to download the app and remember to get your discounted tickets using the code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Get great seats for a fraction of the cost with SeatGeek.
No, it's going to be great. Over to the Western Conference Final, which should be great as well. And this is going to be between the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars. We know there's some history here between these two franchises playing each other in the Western Conference Final. But this is it. We've got the Oilers and the Stars in the West, and this series will get going on Thursday night. The Stars ended up knocking out the Avalanche in six games. They knock off the last two cup winners. Extremely impressive. And then, of course, Edmonton getting it done against the Vancouver Canucks in seven. So let's talk about this series, fellas. Who we got, Case?
First, I want to point out that I was 100% right about who won and how many games for every series except the Rangers. So everything I just said, forget about it because the Rangers are probably going to win. But Dallas came out in six, Edmonton came out in seven, and Florida came out in six. So I feel pretty good about myself right now. That being said, I have a really hard time picking this series. I've been full-blown Dallas all the way through this season and in the playoffs. But when I look at this matchup, these are two teams that create a ton of offense and aren't that physical. They're really not. Like Edmonton, definitely not. And Dallas, you imagine them being a heavy style of hockey, but I've just haven't really seen the physicality from them. You know, Jamie Benn on that big hit, McNabb is really like the only real physicality I've seen from Dallas. So it's going to be a barn burn this series. There's going to be a ton of goal scoring. And I think that if you just play loose like that, and it's going to be in a high scoring series, I still give the edge to Dallas because they make less mistakes. And when the game is going quick and flying up and down the ice, the team that makes the least amount of mistakes is going to win. And that's why I'm going to pick Dallas in seven games.
Damn. So I actually had a much easier time with this series than I did the series in the East, because I just look at these two teams and I think there's one that's clearly better, and that's the Dallas Stars, in my opinion. I think the Oilers are a good team, but when it comes to depth up and down the lineup at all positions, including goalie and maybe especially goalie, the Dallas Stars just have the edge in every single position. You know, like up and down the lineup, it doesn't matter who's playing for Dallas. They're playing the same way. They're making crisp breakout passes. They're snapping it around in the offensive zone. They have two good power play units. Like, I look at the Dallas Stars and I see them also as a team that, you know, has the ability to shut down the Stars on Edmonton. And we saw, you know, in a lot of games in that second round series between the Oilers and the Canucks, when McDavid's shut down, then all of a sudden it rests on Draisaitl, who, by the way, is a pretty good guy to rest a game on, because he's pretty good too. But point is, I think Dallas is more well-equipped than anyone that Edmonton has played so far in terms of being able to shut down the Stars and then also get your goaltender to bail you out. So I just think Dallas, top to bottom, is the better team. That being said, Oilers fans are probably loving that I'm saying this right now, because all McDavid needs is doubters. And if people are doubting McDavid, you know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to put up 3 points a game, night in, night out, and will his way to the Stanley Cup final. I'm picking Dallas, but I'm nervous.
I haven't figured out which game yet, but I'm probably going to put down like $2 on McDavid scoring 5 points one of these series, or one of these games.
Yes.
Because there's so much like, oh, he didn't show up against Vancouver. Like, yeah, okay, look out.
Exactly. And that's, you know, and that's on him being the best player in the world still, even though I think most people would say that Leon Draisaitl has been the best player through this playoff run for this team.
I wouldn't even say that. I would say Evan Bouchard has been the best player.
Well, he's been pretty good
setting the NHL playoff record for points by a defenseman through two series.
He's been pretty good too. I forgot about him, but in terms of forwards, maybe I'll narrow it down a bit there. But then there's Zach Hyman, who has like 10 goals or whatever. So he's been good. But point is, I just think Dallas is deeper. And especially to like Harper, I know you probably want to talk about this, but it's the goaltending for me as well. How big of a story was the goaltending in Edmonton throughout this entire series in round two? Calvin Pickard was making starts and winning games for this team, you know, and at the other end, it was Arthur Shelofs, who had no NHL playoff experience prior to that series. So I just think the narrative totally changes, you know, when you're playing a guy who has experience compared to, you know, a guy who doesn't. And then you look at Yornet and it's like, okay, like, do we trust either of these guys? Not really. I know Skinner was good in that game seven, but he also wasn't tested as much as, you know, you would expect him to be in a game seven. So I don't know. I'm just not confident in the Oilers goaltending at all. I think Dallas is better top to bottom. That's who I'm going with. Six games.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And I'm in agreement with you two that top to bottom, Dallas is the deeper team, especially when it comes to their forwards and between the pipes with Jake Oettinger. They get more contributions up and down their lineup, you know, all four lines, you know, just looking at the forward group in particular. And going back to that seven-game series against Vancouver for Edmonton, there were a couple of times where I'm sure, like many of us out there, I was like, the Oilers are in trouble and they may be done here against Vancouver. But they were able to win game six and game seven in a different way. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl weren't dominating. They weren't, you know, I mean, yes, they won game six 5-1, but they were defending really well. And this team has proven that they can defend well. You know, not only does Bouchard put up a ton of points, and what an incredible season he's had. He looks like a Norris Trophy winning defenseman, but, you know, he can also defend, and being on that top pair with Ekholm and you know, Nurse and Desharnais and everybody, you know, they've proven that they can defend. And I think part of the reason why Stuart Skinner wasn't tested very much in game six and game seven is due in large part because of how well the Oilers defended in front of him. Now, in terms of the forward depth, again, does not match with the Dallas Stars, but I do see some encouraging signs. You may not get the production from your Janmarks, your Carricks, Browns, of course. That's a big one, and other guys, but just go out there, have a good shift, and win a puck battle. Win a couple of puck battles. You know, we hear this all the time, that this time of year, it's about winning those battles along the walls. If they can, you know, have shifts where they can do that and win puck battles and wear down the Dallas Stars, you know, that's good enough. And then, you know, there are guys that are getting chances. I look at a guy like Dylan Holloway as someone who I really noticed in that game seven. He's playing in a top six role now with Draisaitl and Kane, had a lot of chances and looks like he could break through and maybe score a couple of big goals in this series. So I do think there are some encouraging signs. And then again, you know, it just feels like we haven't even seen the best out of McDavid yet. You know, I mean, his numbers are still ridiculous so far in these playoffs, but he didn't dominate the same way that he can in that Vancouver series. I mean, guys, that first period of that game seven, he only played 5 minutes. You know, it was a very slow start for McDavid. So if he can somehow break through and dominate in this series and try to wear down that Dallas Stars blue line, I mean, when you have him and Draisaitl, you always have a chance. And so, again, sticking to my original bracket and just what we've seen from the Oilers recently here, those last two games against Vancouver and now going into this series against Dallas, I'm going to take the Oilers in seven games.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like you've mentioned, you know, and we kind of touched on earlier, McDavid not scoring does worry me with my pick, picking Dallas. But the way I want to justify it a little bit too is, and you know, of course, I'm going to bring this back to the Maple Leafs. But going back to the first round, you know, when I was watching games all across the league, you know, every year I watch the Maple Leafs in the first round, and I tell myself, you know, around that time that, you know, like if they get through, this could happen. You know, this team's good enough, whatever. Yada yada. And I believe it. I convinced myself of it. But then when I watched in the second round this year, Dallas and Colorado, I told myself the truth that this Maple Leafs team this year was not even close to either of those teams. And it was evident just by watching 5 minutes of the first game. Like it's not even close. So, and I haven't felt like that watching any of these other teams here, including the teams in the East. So that's how I want to justify my pick in Dallas. Just saying, you know, the simple fact that when I watch this team, it doesn't feel like any other team really compares. And it's a shame that the Colorado team had to go down as well, because I thought they were really good against Dallas. And I thought that series was so entertaining. But Dallas, man, like I think this is their year. I really do.
Well, the fact that they handled Colorado says enough, like the way they handled them too. And
yeah,
that's really how I've been trying to go with these playoffs picks. Usually I try to pick, you know, I try to match up offense versus offense and defense versus defense, all of these different ways. And I look at stats and stuff like that. But this year, I just went with my gut on who I think will win based off what I've seen out of them. And that's where I ended up with Dallas and Florida. Now, something I will say is I did look at Money Puck because I have to do it. And a stat that I find funny and I think could play a factor in this series because of a Zach Hyman and a RNH or something like that, Draisaitl as well, is that Dallas, 22.58% of their goals against are from rebounds. And that to me screams beneficial for the Edmonton Oilers, who McDavid just gets the puck to the net and some meathead bashes it in. So it's, I laughed at that when I saw it, but yeah, I was on Money Puck because I wanted to see the balance of hitting in some of these series and some of the past series. Cause I wanted to see how the Rangers in Florida, how that would play out. And it's interesting. Florida gets hit a lot.
Yeah, it's weird looking at that, right? Because it's like, does that mean that they just have the puck all the time? Or does that mean a combination of them having the puck and for some reason taking lots of hits? Like, I always wonder about that. And obviously, stats can only tell so much and you have to contextualize it with the eye test. But are you on Money Puck right now, by the way? Because I haven't looked at the odds. Can you pull up the odds for each series? I'm kind of curious.
Oh, but you and I are very wrong to the odds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I came across them myself earlier today. Edmonton was definitely favorited.
Really?
Yeah. It's Edmonton has a 57% chance of making the comp final, and the Rangers have a 56.2% chance.
Wow. I mean, I guess I picked one favorite, but just that doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, yeah, I picked the Rangers.
I picked the Rangers. I just look at Dallas and I think they're so good. And maybe that's where I'll make some money back on the betting sites by, you know, betting against Edmonton, who is apparently the betting favorite. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm picking Edmonton in seven, obviously, but like I could
You picked
also
them to win the cup, though, didn't you, this year?
Yeah, I did. Oh, I did. Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's a big part of it as well, you know, just sticking with the bracket from before. But, you know, I could you guys also not see a scenario with just everything that we've said about Dallas that they somehow end this in five?
Yes.
Six? Like
I have them winning the cup. This is you don't have to convince me of that. I'm full blown and Dallas Stars fan here.
Yeah, Calvin Pickard starts game two after Stuart Skinner gets shelled for six. I could see it. Like, of course, I could see it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, another thing that just came to me about the Oilers. I know it was a couple of years ago now, but when they got to the Western Conference Final. We know what happened, right? They got swept by the Colorado Avalanche, who went on to win the Stanley Cup. So, you know, Oilers fans are going to hate me for throwing this scenario out there. But what if that happens again? I mean, Dallas is good enough to wrap this thing up early, aren't they?
They are, for sure. And that year, wasn't that the same year that the Rangers went to the conference finals in the East? Tampa beat them. So yeah, maybe it's
that's right.
Florida and Dallas in the final and Dallas wins. And it's just 2022, but 2 years later.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an excellent finish and you know, I can't believe we're at this point already, but certainly exciting and nice to have a Canadian team in the final four. That's for sure. We knew we were going to get one of them after that series between Edmonton and Vancouver. So again, Florida and the New York Rangers, that starts, I guess it would be tonight, Wednesday night. That series gets going at Madison Square Garden, and then the Western Conference Final between the Stars and the Oilers starts Thursday. Enjoy the starts of those two series and the rest of the games this week, and we will chat with you again soon. Take care. Thanks for listening.
This has been another episode of Boys in the Booth with Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams. connect with the Boys in the Booth on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Boys in the Booth. Visit boysinthebooth.com for show details. And don't forget, you can become a patron of the podcast for just $1 a month at patreon.com/boysinthebooth.